So today is day number 16 of our coronavirus miracles healing Zoom circles. And before we get into what I was feeling inspired to share, just wanted to make some announcements that just could be helpful for all of us. So we're going to continue meeting today, tomorrow, and then the weekend there is that online retreat. And for those of you that have connected with me and I have sent stuff, you know, forward with the patron and all that, you should have gotten information. If you haven't, you know, reach out to me. And if you're still considering attending, if someone could help me and put the link in the chat, maybe Mary Straub, you could do that. Just the link for the Face of Christ, the online retreat, so people know that that's available. And we have a patron also that's going to, you know, generously is supporting us. So that's that. And then what I wanted to talk about also is tomorrow we're going to have a really beautiful joining. I've invited Reverend Maria Felipe to join us. She's a Pathways of Light minister. Yeah. And I see some of the heads nodding. Many of you know her. Yeah. Yeah, she's really a beautiful demonstration of living in trust and listening to guidance. And she's written a book called Live Your Happy. I think it came out 2 or 3 years ago. I know I shared one with my mom. I have a copy. It's on Amazon, Live Your Happy. You know, if you felt prompted to look at that or go to her website, it's mariafelipe.org, I want to say. I've known her for some years, and for some of you who have done the 40-day program, I shared a story of her healing. She was in the situation in the hospital and just really practicing the principles of the Course in really extreme situations. Since then, she's married. She has a boy, you know, I think he's maybe about a year old, maybe a little less, I'm not sure. So here's someone who's really, you know, walking their talk, you know, living in these circumstances and at the same time extending and sharing. And her message, Live Your Happy. How can you be happy? What does that mean in these circumstances? So I thought, well, why don't we go to her? Because that's a big part of her ministry that she shares. So she'll be on tomorrow. It'll kind of be like what we did with Frances. It'll be a conversation between me and her, and then we'll open it up for all of you to, you know, reach, you know, just ask whatever is prompted. So I wanted to announce that. And then, as I said, Saturday, Sunday, we won't be meeting. So we'll come back again next week, Monday through Thursday. And Monday, we've got another special treat. If some of you remember, it was way back when we were starting our group. So it might have been like day two, day three. I read this poem that showed up on Facebook. It sort of went viral. It was, What If? What If? And the whole poem was like the first inklings of an invitation to start to see this in a different way. To start to see this whole situation in a different way. And the author, it was written like Gurpreet Gill. And I'm from India, and I recognize that's not the right name. Someone has misspelled his name. So I felt inspired to, you know, kind of do a little bit of research and find out who this person was, you know. And her name is Gurpreet Gill. And I joined a Zoom workshop she facilitated, and I was so moved by her story. So she's a woman who grew up in Vancouver, but like me, you know, Indian, Punjabi origin, and really went through that route of like, you know, achievement and career and success and outward, and then had 2 near-death experiences, traumatic brain injury, and a point where she just really just lost healthcare, lost her home. There was a mudslide and she was homeless and really in extreme situations, had to move back to Canada where she could get healthcare, be with her family for a while, all of that. She now lives in Colorado and she's become a energy worker, healer, breath work. That's her. I know some of you are, you know, Hazel, you know, you've done that work. So that's her way of sharing. And when I listened to her story, it was so poignant to me because blessed are the peacemakers, right? Those who make peace with circumstances that just defy our logical understanding. Like, how do you handle that? You know, the floor is, you know, pulled from under your feet. And, you know, where do you land? You know, you just seem to fall. And here's someone who experienced it. And isn't it perfect that now she is able to kind of be like a way shower, you know, just to be someone who walks with us and perhaps sees a different landscape, which her poem really represented. So she and I had a beautiful joining yesterday. And it was so delicious because we're from the same, you know, Punjabi background. And so we had things that could be understood without us speaking, you know, like we just understood what she meant when she said this or said that, and even exchanged some stuff in Punjabi and Hindi and all of that. So she was delighted to come. So she's going to join us Monday. And I will do the same thing. I will just, you know, talk to her, probably ask her to read that poem again, because I bet many of you may not remember. It's definitely worth reading again. So she's going to do that Monday. And again, then it'll be a conversation afterwards and we can just open it up and just see where the spirit takes us. So I wanted to put those announcements out there. And then let's see. Yeah, welcome, Mary, and welcome, Catherine. Yeah, welcome. So, Mary Straub, I was wondering, there's a workshop that's going to happen, I think, today. Is that right? Maybe you could tell us about it. That might be... do I need to unmute you? Let me see. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it starts at a right after this is over. It starts at 11:30 for me. For you, it's 12:30. So it's right after this group. It's like I'm going to have to jump over there. So I'm going to go ahead and put the link. Well, let me tell you. Do you want me to tell about it?
Give a little blurb about it. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Okay. It's Netta Bowen, and she is she's offering her voice liberation workshop online today at 11:30. She woke up in the middle of the night with this inspiration. Oh, I'm going to put this online because she was supposed to be doing a tour. And I can tell you about her. She was very instrumental in the movie Take Me Home, and Francis's movie Take Me Home. She used her voice liberation for healing, and it is so powerful. I had the experience of doing some voice liberation with our whole group. Oh, I just can't even describe it to you. It was a magical experience, but she did it with our whole group in 2018 when I was at Living Miracles in Utah, and the energy was off the charts. It was so powerful. Seema, I just sent you a link to my video of that when we did it in 2018. And oh, we were just soaring. And I can just still watch that and get chills. But anyway, it's beautiful. And I don't know what the link is for. Let me put it in. What this link is for is registration, and it takes you immediately to, you can join now. So if anybody's interested, you can click on that, but you'll, you know, do it quick. You can go in late, but if you register, she will send you a recording.
Okay.
Even if you can't get on.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Lovely. Okay. So this is so beautiful. We have all of these, you know, bright lights around us that are just sharing their gifts. And it's so lovely. It's so lovely to feel like this community, virtual community, you know. Neda, is she in Belgium? She's in Europe. She's not in, I think she's, yeah.
She's in Holland.
She's in Holland. Okay.
And she's coming from Amsterdam. So the time on it was 6:30. And I was like, it said CEST, and I was thinking, oh, that's Central Time. I can do that tonight, but I had to look it up. That's Holland time. So
Thank you. So it's 12:30 Eastern time, and then you guys maybe can take from there what it's supposed to be. So thanks for that. Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna have Marianne share about that. Wonderful. Okay. All right. So that's it for our our community announcements, right? Mary Straub and I, we were talking a little bit yesterday, and we were talking about, of course, coronavirus. You know, what else is there to talk about, right? And I don't say this in a bad way. I really don't say it in a bad way. I feel there's a real power here right now that we are kind of really pulled to this, you know, like our attention is pulled. And I don't mean like, you know, scrolling down news with CNN and all that. I don't mean that, although sometimes it can feel like it goes that way. But I just feel like I've been expressing there's a portal. I feel like there's an opening here that if we are doing this with the spirit and asking the questions that are coming up and just laying it on the altar, you know, not hiding, not pretending, then there is a lot of potential for healing and a lot of healing that I think all of us, you know, in the last couple of weeks in our own way, we have been experiencing, right? So so what came for me was I saw this video of, and of course, you know, even though I'm not a physician in the traditional sense, you have to understand that a good 30 years of my life was spent in that world. So it's a big part of my self-concept, right? It still is there, but it's a self-concept that's being forgiven and healed and expanded. And the tools of that trade are all being used, you know, just like to facilitate this group, for example, to write the book that I did, all of that. So it's all being used. So I listened to this doctor and he was talking about how some doctor in Washington, I think it's Washington State, but I could be wrong. He got fired from his job because he was talking about the shortage of masks, right? The protective wear that, you know, they need to go in and take care of these patients. And he got fired. And this other doctor was like really angry. He was so upset. And he was talking about, and so you have to understand the context because I know what he's feeling because I remember being in so many situations and so many different aspects of my life where I felt this is what was optimal, usually for a patient, something was needed, an insurance or some administration person would deny it, like because of XYZ, and it would really rankle me, you know, and my mom and dad know, I would come home and I would like vent, like this is what I was trying to do, and look at this, and blah, blah, and it would be like, you know, vent, vent, vent. I would be really upset because what would happen, and this is what this doctor was going to, is the administrators generally, not always, it's changing, are not clinicians. They don't have a medical background. They don't even have a nursing background or, you know, any kind of healthcare background. It's more a business administration, a public health, something like that, right? So here we are, like, you know, we're the doctors that have spent maybe 12 years of our life, you know, or more, 15 more if we're into surgery, right? And here's someone else who, you know, the college, and then they did this. So first of all, the mind judges, like, you know, the education and all that. And then it says this guy, and he hit the nail. He said, you know, I'm at the bedside. This person is at the bedside. We know what's needed. You know, we're in the trenches. So how can you, you know, give us these dictums and say, blah, 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 whatever you're saying. And then of course, money comes in. You know, here are these administrators that are making a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars, you know, is their salary, fringe benefits and this and that. And doctors are making what they're making, right? I won't say doctors are poor. I mean, they're doing well, but it's relatively, you can feel again, that separation. So I could feel for him and I could feel. And so what he was saying is, you know, we're going to come together, all of us doctors, and you watch now, you know, once this crisis is over, we're going to fire all of you. Like, that's what we're going to do. We're going to fire all of you. And you just had to laugh because he was really like, it was like, you know, like a child saying, okay, you threw this at me. Well, guess what? I'm going to double it and throw it back at you. Like, you know, I'm going to do that. And you could feel his heart and you felt his pain. And you also had to laugh because if we go to the Course in Miracles, the lessons that were coming to me were around, you know, sickness is a defense against the truth, and in defenselessness, my safety lies. In defenselessness, my safety lies. So if we're not, well, what is defenselessness? That's what I want to go in with us today. But when we're not in defenselessness, we are defending a position. I am right, and you are wrong, and I will attack your position. Right? So it's defense, attack, defense, attack, defense, attack. And like I said, when I would come home, you know, certainly I was grateful that I had a place to vent, but I cannot say that I healed from that. You know, I would go back and the same thing would happen again. It didn't heal. It didn't heal. It felt good to vent, but it didn't heal. So with the Course in Miracles, we have the other way. We have another way of approaching this. And we've been really going deep into those ideas of joining, of forgiveness, of discernment, of what is forgiveness, what is needed in this situation right here for me. So I was then led to watch another video on Facebook, and it was by a nurse, and she was in a hospital in California. And so I saw a couple of her videos, and the first video, I don't know where she posted it. It was like in a room by herself. And she was like, I have to say this. I have to talk. I don't know if I'm going to lose my job, but I have to talk. And so she was talking about how she had gone into work. So she was volunteering to work in the COVID units, right? So hospitals now, some hospitals have become COVID hospitals, that's all they're doing. Some have certain units where all the COVID patients, you know, they're together for all of that. So what she meant was that you can sign up where you're going to go. I'm assuming she's getting paid, but she was volunteering to go there because she's single. She said, better me than like, you know, a pregnant nurse, or I live by myself. So, you know, very generous of her, right? Like, she's going out to do this, and 16-hour shifts she's working. And at one point she said, you know, all I've had to eat was like coffee and something by Taco Bell, like a burrito or something. Like, I'm even trying not to expose other people by going into restaurant, you know, or something like that. So anyway, so here's someone who's like really, you know, feeling this service, right? She's in service, and she goes into the hospital, and she said, again, the mask, my mask was taken away. And she said they had told her that now the precautions, like, there's different levels. There's something called contact precautions in the hospital. Then there's droplet, and then there's aerosol. So contact is hand, droplet is like just droplet, and then aerosol is like in the air. So if I'm getting it right, like, you need different levels of protection. I remember that, just gloves, then you need a mask, and you need a gown and all of that. So she was saying that it's not true that in reality that's the case, but because there's a shortage of masks, the hospital administration changed it so that they could conserve what they had, right? And she saw through it. She saw through it. She said, this is not, how am I going to do this? You know, this is not right. So she had meetings with them, and it was like, does she need to talk to the union? Like, she was trying to figure out, like, how do I get help here? You know, how do I handle this? And in the end, she had the meeting, and she said, you know, in the video, she says, like, you know, I'll admit I was a bit sassy. Maybe I spoke up too much. That part of me came out, and whatever it was. But, you know, she's honest. She's transparent. She's saying, this is what I was feeling. And then one of the nurse administrator that was her supervisor, they had a meeting, and the nurse just hugged her, and they were both crying. She was both crying. And so she said in the meeting, and then when I was the nurse, I realized this is not a personal thing. This is not personal to me. You know, we're all in this situation and we don't know. We're afraid and we don't know. And these people that are going to be my, you know, they're the ones that set the protocol and I follow it. You know, even they don't know. They're just in fear and they don't know. So yesterday we did that whole, you know, levels of mind, right? We went through the perception and the emotion and the beliefs and the thoughts, the beliefs and the desire. And so it was really beautiful because it was almost like listening to an expression session when I was listening to this nurse. I'm sure she doesn't think of it that way, but it was this beautiful expression session. But somehow she was able to pop through it. She was able to pop through it because she came out of defense. She came out of blame. She came out of guilt. And the last thing she says in the video is like, you know, I wish I could be peaceful here, but I don't feel peaceful. I feel afraid, and we need help. The desire, right? Like Hazel did that so beautifully yesterday, right? All that experience into the desire for healing, you know, the desire for healing. So the defenses need to come down for us to access the mind going into prayer and going into desire. And then if you follow the couple of other her videos, she's been able to, a lot of people watch the video, I guess. And so she connected with other nurses and connected with the nurses where she was. And so there's this whole campaign now where you can make masks at home and bring them. and, you know, better than nothing, but they can be used. That was a huge thing because the hospital did had a policy that you couldn't do that. And people were writing to her like, how can we support you? We want to send you this. And so shipments were coming in. And then she was saying, you know, in your local community, please ask and help there. Because, you know, talk to a fireman, talk to a policeman. They're going to know a nurse in the emergency room. They're going to know a nurse in some hospital that needs that. And so this whole thing that could have been just, you know, I'm right and you're wrong, right? Defense attack, which maintains the separation, which delays the healing, which delays the peace, which just, you know, if a virus is going to grow, well, there you got it. It's going to grow. The gap. You know, there's a place where it says the gap between my brother and me, in that gap, do I fill it with love or do I allow fear to be there? And you want to close the gaps. And I know some of us were here for that beautiful meditation we had where I was shown this cave. We're in this dark cave and Jesus or our teacher, our guide is asking all of us like hand in hand because the light is so dim that we have to depend on each other to get out of this. We can't just depend on me personally. So it was so beautiful what this nurse shared, you know, and her backstory is interesting too, because at some point in the, I don't know if she's written a book or definitely a blog about where she was like in her mid 30s or something, and her younger brother, her older brother, they were both getting married and one of them already had kids and she was feeling the biological clock ticking and she was like, okay, let me get on every dating app and everything. And, you know, I'm going to find, you know, Prince Charming and it's going to be this. And she was doing it. Her family was doing it for her and all of it. And like, nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. And then she realized like, wow, this is not right. Something is not right. So then she decided to take like this road trip. She got, you know, all her resources and she got into like a minivan or purchased it. And then she was traveling. And then she even said, well, even this is not right. Cause I'm like kind of running away. And she said, well, where is the answer? And it's really beautiful. She says, the answers are within. You have to go within. You know, you have to listen to that voice within. So I thought those two stories for me really helped me again. And even if we were to just for a minute talk about the mask, right? Like the mask, you know, you mask something. If you look at China and you look at the footage there and other countries, they have those I don't know what the name is, there's a P something. And they're like these like heavy duty. I mean, the things you see like in the movies with Ebola virus, you know, they're like heavy duty stuff. Hazmat suits, I think that's what they're called. Like if you think about it, those would be probably the real protective gear that's needed, right? If we were to say that. So we could, but like, it's not about arguing, right? It's not about getting in, like the ego mind wants to go there. And I was looking at her name is Jackie on Facebook, the nurse. And on the feed, someone said, well, no, Jackie, what you really need is you need these kind of masks. And they might have been correct, you know, from an infectious disease point, they might have been correct. But I could tell the mask was just a symbol of the love that she pulled forth within herself and then from others. The joining, it's the love. And in the Course, it says, you know, miracles are equal. All miracles are maximal because they are only an expression of love. That's all they are. They're only an expression of love. And then we're also told that this is a simple Course. It need not be difficult. And I was thinking about that. Okay, so you see how the ego mind, what kind of mask? How am I going to get the mask? The administrator is not listening to me. Well, I'm going to fire him. You know, I'm going to fire him, right? So the mind gets into like it's like scared, right? This doctor was obviously the first one when I presented, he was scared. He was in a space of fear. And from fear, fearful solutions arise. Defense, attack, defense, attack, defense, attack. That's what it will be. But if I lay down my defenses, like this nurse did, and said, listen, I want to be peaceful, but I'm not feeling peaceful. I want to, you know, comfort you, but I'm not feeling comforted. I'm not, you know, the mask comes down. She's asking for a mask, but she's really, you know, she's bringing down her mask. It's kind of funny, right? She's bringing down her mask. So I feel like for us, these ideas of defenselessness, which doesn't mean that you do for her, like I was thinking she could have asked for so many different things, but she went for the mask, right? So the mask was her symbol of comfort. And then she said, my brother sent me something, my mother sewed something and sent it. It was her comfort. It was her thing that she needed, right? And so spirit worked with her mind where the mind was. And it's so beautiful. That's why we do not have to have one solution in form. We don't. We really don't. But we do need one solution in content. And so it's like we do not need a universal theology, but we do need a universal experience. And that universal experience is one of peace and love and comfort and safety. And we need to be in our prayer life, in our meditation life, in our stillness life, whatever it looks, in our walking our dog's life, you know, wherever we do our, you know, releasing and processing, we want to be like, okay, only love can answer this. Like only love. I will not settle for anything less than love. And spirit, I don't know what love means here. I have no idea. I think it means this. I really think it means this. And watch the mind, the defending mind, the mind that wants to, you know, be right. You know, watch it and get more and more and more transparent to spirit, like putting it up on the altar, giving it over, I don't know, you know, to be in the I don't know mind, but I need help. You know, like to be more and more willing to lay down our defenses, because as Francis shared with us, we have no past experience. We have no past experience of this. We cannot rely on past learning. We cannot. So every day we read a lesson and we apply it or we do our practice. And then it's like, give us our daily bread. The next day, ask, you know, let me go deeper. Show me. Keep showing me, you know, because it's dark. It's dark here, right? It's dark. Even if the lights are on, it's dark. It's dark. So I just was feeling called for us to like, reflect on these ideas and even the idea of sickness being a defense against the truth. What does that mean? So when we say sickness is a defense against the truth, that's a lesson in the Course. We can get so riveted on the body. And if a body is sick, then something is wrong, right? And then again, that's like the ego taking those teachings and using them in a way that was not intended. But if we bring it back and say, okay, sickness is a defense against the truth of who I am. So Ramakrishna, he's this beautiful saint, a sage teacher from India. I remember hearing something where when he was dying, I think he had like throat cancer or something, and his disciples were crying because they were like seeing him in this pain and suffering. And he was like, don't look at the body. Look at me. Like, look at my eyes. Look at me. Look at me. And I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but the essence that I'm hearing is you can't use your physical eyes. You can't. We have to go deeper. We have to go deeper, and we have to ask help to go deeper. And we have to ask help from our brothers and sisters to assist us, because sometimes we can't do it alone. Oftentimes, you know, when we're in fear, right? Like this nurse, she just put it out there and said, look, I can't do this. I can't do this. So I want to now go into a meditation where we can take some of these ideas into an experience and receive some answers or insights or whatever it is we need. Maybe we just need to process something, and then we'll open it up for a conversation.
I actually have to go. I want to say thank you. I've got a client right at noon. Thank you, and I'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. So let us all just join in a willingness, a collective willingness, to understand defenselessness and discernment between the voice of love and the voice of fear. Let us just take a nice deep breath. Just letting the breath expand our lungs, our chest, our heart. Opening the areas that might feel even a little uncomfortable to open. Maybe there's a sense of restriction or limitation. Just let them open, even just a little. Not pushing, not forcing. Nothing to make happen. Just allowing spirit to breathe us. And the area around the throat, if it's needing any attention, just bringing the breath there. Breathing through the nose or through the mouth, whatever feels comfortable. Letting the breath go to the crown. Imagine our mind just opening to receive. Just bringing the awareness to the belly, letting the belly be soft. Letting the breath travel down to the core, down to the feet. Just softening, relaxing as it goes. Imagine even giving the responsibility of the breath to spirit. Spirit is our breath. Prana, the life force that sustains us and nourishes us. We're never in charge of this. And now we realize, perhaps we're coming to that awareness that we don't want to be in charge either. Sometimes we armor our hearts because we've had hurts in the past. This lifetime, if we believe in previous lifetimes. But it's safe here. We're all safe here. There is no judgment. Just an invitation to relinquish these defenses. To whatever degree we can. We don't have to do it all at once. We could even say, Spirit, I want to walk with you. Love, I want to walk with you. Please help me. I don't want to be defended. I want to know that my safety and security comes from you. And you will use all the symbols of the world in healthcare, medicine, the world of economics, whatever it might be, my relationships. You will use everything to convince me how safe and how taken care I am. I am willing. I taught myself to defend myself because that is what I thought I had to do to get by in this world. It's the only way I knew. But now my mind is weary, my feet are tired. I want to rest. I can't do this way anymore. It's too heavy. Show me where I can rest. Show me where I can quench my thirst. Feed this hunger inside that is longing for love. You teach me that I am love. Please show me, convince me that is true. I give everything that is mine to you. I give my mind to you. Please use everything in my life to bring me to you. That's the only place I want to go. And I know I can invite all of my brothers and sisters to go with me. I bring my focus to you, my attention to you. I fix my mind on you. In you is everything I need, even before I know I will need it. Because you know all. You know all my needs even before I do. I want to let these defenses come down that seem to separate me from love and me from my brothers and sisters. show me that I have always been joined with you, that I have always been joined with my brothers and sisters. And this sense of separation is not true. Send me all the experiences I need to convince me, as many times as I need to be convinced. Help me to hear your voice. Help me to see where I am choosing fear. You cannot make the choice for love for me. I must make that choice, but you can show me where I am choosing fear. And then I can choose love. And I can choose to let you lead me with love. Whatever seems to be going on outside, there is a shelter here for me and all of my brothers and sisters, where we are safe. We are together, we are joined, we are one, one family. No separation, no separate needs, no separate interests. All one, one purpose. The purpose of healing, the purpose of forgiveness, the purpose of love. Thank you, Spirit, beloved presence, for showing me again and again. There is always another way. The path of love is always available, always, in all circumstances. And I am willing to bring every circumstance to you so you can show me the love. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace. peace, peace, peace. Namaste. If anyone feels they'd like to share or express,
this is Katie. I don't have anything to share, but I do need to say that I have to sign off. And thank you so much for the meditation. It's going to definitely impact my day. I am in the health field. I'm sitting in my office with my fancy gloves. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't see you at the moment, but.
Oh, here. Can you see me? Oh, you know what? I know why.
Gotcha. Hi, everybody. I'm just, it's nothing earth shattering, just very, you know, you are giving us these beautiful meditations and I'm hardly with them. You know, just noticing so much monkey mind coming up. And Hazel was speaking about restriction yesterday, feeling that in my body. I had a chronic pain condition for years. And yeah, I was in such a place of peace last month. And it really wasn't a riot. My pain was pretty much gone, almost. And it was just beautiful. And that's happened before, but it's not the case these days. I'm very aware of it in my body, my resistance. And I know there's a lot of stuff in my heart. A lot of emotions I'm not allowing myself to feel. I'm just kind of on survival, you know. I'm grateful that I haven't been depressed, very grateful. And my anxiety is not what it used to be, but I guess I just want to bring that out into the open rather than, you know, sometimes when I share really positively, I think it might project that I'm just doing fantastically and I'm doing pretty good considering, especially considering the neighbors, which are oh my gosh, so many other things that I haven't shared, but, you know, just, I know it's just part of the pattern. It's just part of me, reflections of my own issues that coming up and to be processed and released and brought to the spirit and put on the altar. And you know, if it doesn't come up from them, it's going to come up in some other way, you know, and it's better have it out in the open and in the light, you know, now, and deal with it and as I can and process it and release it as in whatever way is, you know, spirit sees best. So I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good, but I guess I just wanted to acknowledge that I am noticing, and I have been, I mean, I have noticed, I just haven't really spoken it. So I'm doing my best to stay in a very positive place with it all, but I also want to be honest about, you know, and more transparent about what's going on for me in this medium. So thank you. Thank you. I got your message. Thank you, Jessica. Jessica just sent a chat message and I just wanted to thank her. I'm doing my best to make it. It's been a lot to deal with. I'm busier now than I was for a long time, but it's good stuff.
Yeah. So as I was listening to you, Chris, thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything you shared. And no, it's funny. Even positivity can be a defense.
Yeah.
Even positivity can be a defense. And I'm wondering if there's someone where you feel safe to let yourself experience those emotions in a safe space. Because then it's not an efforting to be positive. It's it's a spirit that carries you. You know, like it's not like a swimming upstream. Right. It's like a raft that takes you. And I remember when I was going through my divorce, I was getting so busy because I had to do so much stuff. I was just a new mom and there was just so much. I remember my sister-in-law telling me that, you know, you need to let yourself experience. I said, if I start crying, I may not stop. I remember telling her that, you know? And at that time I had to do whatever I had to do, but I had to look at that stuff. You know, I could put it away, but I couldn't bypass it.
I'm aware of that. That's why I'm raising the issue partly for myself to get it up and out, to start that process. But usually I don't feel like I'm efforting to be positive because when I'm here with you guys, because there's so much positive here, but there are times when it's efforting. And I know just showing that side of me isn't being completely transparent. And so I guess just wanting to bring more of myself. I do have someone I can do that with and have been on and off, but the feelings are not, I'm just asking spirit to, you know, help me let it go when it's time, when it's, you know, prepare me for that. And, I can't force that either. I'm kind of wanting to try, but I know that doesn't work either. And it'll come up and out when it's meant to. Yeah. Thank you for your suggestions very much and for your presence, just for your witnessing presence and your kind heart.
Yeah, we're all with you.
Creating this medium.
Yeah, we're all with you. We're all with you.
Thank you.
And thank you even for the demonstration that even being positive could be a defense, right? Just for us to be aware of that. So we're aware when we're doing that, you know, because we want to be such like spiritual people and good course students and this and this and this. And even that's not going to cut it now because this is unprecedented, right? This is unprecedented. It's bringing old stuff and new stuff and this stuff and that stuff. And sometimes for me, I mean, obviously you're right. You can't force it, but I remember I would listen to like Bollywood sad songs. That would be my way. I would find, you know, I would have a tape of Bollywood sad songs and I would put them on and they would just like be magnet. They would take that out and I would, the tears would come and this would come. And it was a way to do it that wasn't so like threatening either. You know, mm-hmm. I remember that just came to my mind and I would be like amazed. Like, I'm like, how did they do it? But they'd be like this magnet. They'd be this magnet. And sometimes when I couldn't share it, I remember I would be in my car and I'd put the tracks on and I would drive a little extra, you know, so that by the time I had to go pick up my son, I was okay. I could be in that mom space and I could, you know, so yeah. So spirit will give you all the ways, movies, songs, whatever is needed, whatever is needed. We just give our willingness because why? Because you want that love and peace and joy is the treasure. It's underneath all of it. So that's what it's for, right? We want to claim that treasure, you know? And so, so we're joining. And I think Mary Straub's put a message here. Yeah, definitely thank you for your transparency, for sure. Okay. Wait, I think Mary, this is... not Mary Straub, but the other Mary. Yeah, I think she wants to say something. So, okay, there you go. Hi, welcome, Mary. Yeah.
Thank you. That was just so beautiful, the meditation. It's funny, when I listen to you, before you did the meditation, it's beautiful what you're saying. But boy, I'll tell you, the minute that you took us into meditation, your spirit and your energy just really... really is strong. So thank you, because that is truly a gift. How you, your ability in meditate is just amazing. So thank you. You it was so fast too, where I was able to see and go with your words, and the perfection of what you were saying. And in that context, a couple things that came up for me. In this whole thing, Corona, and this might sound strange, but is not in my sphere as much as, or I don't have any fear in my heart about it, or it's not where I'm at. It's just not there. I feel positive about that, but where I go is my concern about people, really, the control, and so I'm able to have these happy, beautiful days in my home filled with love and light and my gosh, my family, the things we're bonding on and music, and it's an experience of love. So I guess my question around that, in what, I don't know if the right word is manifesting, but I remember in the course, it talks about everything being almost like a mirror. And I don't know if I'm saying this right, but so then I question myself, if we're a reflection of our own, how am I personally manifesting this existence and this reality? Because that's where I keep looking is, what do I need to heal? And would this all really go away when it's an experience I see everyone having and talking about? So how then can I have a different experience and have it dissipate? Is this really up to me?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful question, Mary. It's very profound. And I was kind of looking at that myself yesterday. You know, I was asking a similar question. And I feel that, and I think I'm feeling like Joe might have something. Joe, you might, I don't know, I'm feeling like maybe you might want to share something as well. But what I'm feeling is we need to be with that question. Instead of rushing for the answer right now, to be with that question and sink with it and really like let spirit take us inside into the stillness into the stillness and keep asking. Because usually we get busy in doing and fixing and changing. And I feel like there's always an answer, and it always comes in the form that is best meant for us. Like for this nurse, it was around the masks and the joining and, you know, her fear of losing her job and expressing. And there were so many, like so much healing that must have happened for her, right? Just all the steps that she seemed to take. So I feel for us, it's a beautiful question. And we can all, I don't know if I would say about manifesting, but I would talk about, because the Course really doesn't use manifesting. I don't think I've read that in the Course. I mean, we could do a word search, but I don't seem to remember manifesting, right? It's not. So I feel like what we would want to talk about is, I am perceiving this and I am feeling whatever it is I'm feeling, you know, like the honesty with the, you know, yesterday we did this whole levels of mind with perception. And if you go to the last blog, you can see the picture, but it's perception and feelings and thoughts. So instead of the energy going outside, if we can collect the energy here and stay, like what I say, in the vertical, like stay in the vertical with spirit and say, let's bring whatever I'm seeing, my perception, back into the mind, so I can receive a healing of my perception of this experience. So I feel that would be a beginning. Like that would be a way to receive whatever answers it is, and a beautiful practice. It's like the Ho'oponopono prayer, when that doctor was seeing all of these, Dr. Hugh Len in Hawaii, where he was seeing these, right, criminally insane patients, and he was asked to be the psychologist, and he said, I'll work here, but I'm not going to see any of the patients. So he would watch them, he would pray over their charts, and he would do that prayer again and again before, during, after his service, you know, his daily shifts. And basically it was, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. So it's a real time for the mind training to keep bringing it back into the mind, not with guilt. But observe if there's guilt, not with I have to fix something, but observe if there is that desire to fix something, because everything is being purified. Everything is being purified. And the coronavirus is like a magnet. It's just pulling things, old griefs, old hurts, false beliefs. You know, it's like a house where you're like, I've got to really clean this place now. I can't close the closets, and I can't close, you know, everything has to be aired. So I feel our minds are the same way. And instead of us, it's hard for us to do this, because the physician in me, you know, the healer, quote unquote, in me wants to be like, yeah, I want to see outside healing. I want that. You know, I want to see this done, right? I can feel that. But I'm not feeling that's what this is. It's not. It feels like I need to be shown the peace inside me that is not dependent on the outside. And when I can be in that space, then I don't know. Like, I don't know what that means. You know, but usually, like, even that idea of manifestation, maybe that's what's a stumbling block, like the mind is tripping over it because it feels like, oh, I should manifest something, or something should show up, or it should do this, or it should do that. So yeah, that's what I'm feeling coming to me. And it's a beautiful question. Thank you for really, you know, putting it out there. Joe, did you want to maybe share? I don't think we can hear you. There we go.
Okay. Is that good? Yeah. Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm not sure this will help that question, but I was just thinking maybe yesterday we talked about connecting to our deep inner core heart's desire. And I think that's important for everyone on the path of healing to embrace their heart's desire. And one of the things that I found is that once you can identify what your heart's desire is, there seems to be a time lag between having a definition of your heart's desire and then experiencing it in the world. And that is like the difference between desire and beingness. In other words, say, for instance, my heart's desire is to know pure joy. But I don't, in the world, I don't feel joyful. And so one of the things that we have to understand is that if we still continue to hang on to all these egoic beliefs, like you're not worthy of joy, you'll never find joy, joy eludes you, joy is not something you'll ever have. And so those are the things that block the joy. And so those are the things that we need to say. Those are the types of things that, you know, like we say, like Simon was saying, you need to find a way to get rid of that. You know, you need to magnetize them to something so that they're not in your awareness anymore. And so one of the techniques that some people use and it's helped is that even if you're not at that point where you're feeling joy, act like you feel joy, okay? And so what happens is that as you become, how can I say it? In other words, if you see like you've already got joy, if you act like you've already got joy, like if it's already given to you, because in truth, it already has been given to you, but there's resistance of accepting it because you're going back to the old belief systems. You'll find that as your beingness changes to joyfulness, even though you don't really believe it yet, what you're doing is you're weakening those bonds to the old belief system. Okay, and there's a sentence in the course. It goes something like this: is that the kingdom of God is within you, but we can only be aware of it as we extend it. So in other words, if your heart's desire is to be joyful, and you're not seeing it yet, the next step is to extend joy. Mm. Okay. Be joyful. See joy in things you've never seen joy in before. And so those are the things that help us to break that kind of addiction to the old belief systems that kept us down in fear and denial of who we truly are. And so those are the things that that's what time is for, right? To get from knowing who you are to believing it by seeing it in the world. And that time can be shortened by disconnecting from your beliefs of the old system of fear by doing these kind of like shortcut tricks where you're going to pretend like you're joyful until you become joyful. And then the big thing is extending joy, even if it's like, I don't see joy yet. You're not seeing it because you're not extending it. That's kind of like what I had to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, it's always beautiful what you share. You know, I was thinking about something and I just put it out there. Like, there's something in the course that says the script is written. The script is written, you know? And it's a very profound concept. And I don't really feel we can intellectually get it. I know there's been discussions where David Hofmeister, one place, I think it was in Holland, I think it was at the Holland retreat, and it seemed like 2 hours they were talking about it. Everyone had that same question. The script is written, the script is written. So the script is written, like past. And someone, a friend of mine whose brother is a firefighter, and he's, you know, working, he's going out to work, and he's being called for all kinds of things, right? Because everyone is really, you know, coming together. And he was saying, you know, I think my friend asked me, like, you know, what do I say to him? Because he's out there and he's seeing all this stuff. And then here we are, we're doing this. And so it reminds me of what you were saying, Mary, a little bit, you know, like this is going on outside. And then here I have all this joy with my family and, you know, we were home anyway, and now we're home and, you know, all of that. So all this beautiful family time. So what was coming to me, or what came as I was listening to him and I was asking Spirit, like, what would be helpful here? It's almost like you have an experience where something is playing itself out. You know, it's playing itself out. And the way to not maybe prolong it, if you would say, is to not judge it. Because that judgment... are like those, I feel like it's like these karmic things that then just keep it there. It just persists, you know, it just persists. What you resist persists. So when we don't judge it, we're in a space of we're watching it. Like you're watching the screen, you're watching the evolution, you're watching the calls for help, you're watching the answers to the calls, you know, and sometimes you're the, like yesterday when I heard that nurse and I heard that doctor, my heart was like, again, I want to help. I want to be of service here. Like, how can I help this beautiful person who's, you know, shining her light? Like, is there, I'm not like sewing masks. That's not my skill. Like, I can't do that. I have no skills there, but you know, maybe I could help with that inner stuff. And then today we have someone on the call and she happens to be working in the hospital, you know, like all of us, she was just there and she said, thank you. You know, so for me, I felt like, okay, that was the answer. You know, that was the answer. If you call it a manifestation, you could even call it that. I wouldn't, you know, I call it a reflection, the desire to help, the call for help, answering the help, and it's there. Now, you know, the mind will say, well, that's one person and then that and that. But see, we can't think like that anymore. This is like a quantum way. We have to really think differently. You know, everyone is being asked to think differently. School systems are thinking differently, political systems, government systems, hospital systems. Hospitals are letting students from medical school graduate early so they can help. Nurses are expediting so they can help. The school year is being, like, everything that we thought, the old way of thinking is not working. So I just wanted to express that perhaps because that non-judgment space is really forgiveness. You know, forgiveness watches. There's a beautiful place in the course that says forgiveness watches. Forgiveness is just still. It doesn't judge. It's just still. It's watching. And in that, forgiveness is the abode of miracles. So for me, like, you know, just that experience of watching that doctor and then watching that nurse and seeing her healing and then this nurse coming on again, I can feel, okay, there's been some healing. I can feel it. I see that. I see the reflection. And then you just stay with it and another wave and another and whatever it is. Because if we put our emphasis on outer, like forget about the coronavirus, forget about that for a minute. Even if you put your emphasis on healing your body and fixing your body, even if you just do that, which you would seem like you could control because it is here, it's not so big there. Many of us who have been on this path know that you can't do that. At some point, you have to surrender. You know, at some point. So if we can't do it like this, how can we do it? Like, you see how it, like, it will just boggle the mind. So I feel like I can learn from my past experiences that, okay, the script is written. I don't have control. I am here to be of service. I am here to be truly helpful. I need not worry what to say or what to do. I am here to represent him who sent me. You know, those prayers, like, this is our, like, yeah, those are going to be our, that's our light on this path. So, yeah, I just felt to express that. Okay. Yep, still got some time. Hazel? Yeah.
Yep. I just sort of, hi everyone. I feel sort of prompted to say something. I'm not really sure what that will be, but just especially after yesterday, you know, there was just such a letting go. And I just wanted to express appreciation to everyone and to Seema and to Spirit just for this opportunity and to be carried. And it feels like it's not me. It's just like, it just does feel so connected to everything that is happening. It just does feel so quantum. The shifts that are occurring that have been expedited, have been accelerated through this whole process, and just having to turn it over to that occurrence and that quantum healing that we're all experiencing and participating in together. And I can't even really understand. It's just so powerful. I have to just kind of let go and be carried on the on this tsunami of healing and sharing and experiencing. We're going quantum for sure, yeah. So thank you everyone for your participation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mary. Yeah. Mary Straub. Yep.
This has been a really powerful gathering today. So much has been coming out. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Seema, for some deep, deep teachings that you so beautifully and simply shared, and for all, you know, the questions, Mary and Chris, that's been very helpful. And Hazel, when you brought up the quantum, I'm really feeling there's something that came through me, and it's like quantum sounds like it's hard, or it's complex. But I'm thinking of quantum is really the simplest path. And what comes to mind for me is the movie Groundhog Day. And it just struck me, I've loved that movie my whole life. And really my, you know, Joe talked about deepest desire. And when I watched that movie, I knew my deepest desire was to be what he was at the end of that movie. That was my deepest desire, to be so in touch with who I am that it was just, you know, go here, do here. This isn't mine. It was so loving and so simple. And what I'm seeing is, you know, what happened to the movie was all about this whole day being repeated over and over and over again, such going from deeply entrenched in ego and totally unaware to, okay, I'm going to try all the tricks and all the tools that I've been given and failing, going, then trying suicide. And then, you know, finally he goes quantum. And that's what he did in the end, is he went quantum. So I think that's, and it was just real simple. He was just a natural extension of love. It was just natural extension. It wasn't having to go out there and fix anybody, or it's like Seema was saying, what is mine to do? I don't sew masks, and that's not what it was about. But it's your extension of love that is is really what, you know, it's like, what is my own personal gift? What is mine to give? And that's when I know I'm going quantum, when I can feel that inner joy that comes from just doing something so simple. It's not even complicated, but yeah, I think you expressed it, Hazel. It's you know, but, and also because we've been on this journey with you, it's like your ability to share so deeply and so completely what was coming up for you, and then to see that was enough to shift you into quantum. And that's in David's communities, he says they only have two rules, and that's no people pleasing and no private thoughts. And man, when we're able to let all those private thoughts come up and be shared with such transparency, which is what I'm seeing here today, and I saw with you yesterday, Hazel, and we're all getting the gift together, and we're all getting the gift from it. And we can, you know, we are part of the healing and rather than part of the problem. And that feels really, really beautiful to me. I'm just feeling it so deeply. And thank you, Chris, for expressing how you're feeling. It's like, and when you said, seems like there's a lot of positivity here. And, you know, it's like, whoa, yeah, positive. And then I'm so glad that Seema said positivity can be a defense, because we don't want to fake it. We want to be real. What are the real private thoughts that are coming up here? I want to be what he was in the end of that movie was real. He was real. And that's what I really want. Yeah. So it's really simple, but we got to be where we are. We got to be where we are. Yeah. So thank you all for being where you are and being there with truth and honesty and transparency, and I just feel the love. I just feel the love. So, yeah, it's a gift to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, Susan, yeah.
Hi, everybody. I haven't said anything for a while, and I think that's meant something in my process. It's been quite an intense time, as it has been for most of us, I'm sure. I feel, Mary, what you just said is so true, that the sharings about that everyone has done has healed me in such a surprising way that it's as though you're sharing for me, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. I had a little chuckle when you talked about Groundhog Day, and I thought I've got to watch that movie again because I have this little, I guess it's not a ritual, just something I do every night before I go to bed. I put an air cleaner on, and in the last, maybe since I've had it in the last couple of years, every time I would turn it on, I thought, well, there's another day gone by. Big deal. You know, such judgment, but just sort of in the background judgment and not nice, you know, just not kind. Not like, oh yeah, you had a great day and you did this or you helped this person or whatever. It was a gift from God. No, that's not what I would say. It would be like equivalent to what a loser. It's not awful. It's not awful to think that, but that's really what I'm seeing now so clearly because I have time for it. You know, I have time. I'm not rushed and I see everything. And so now I'm finding when I turn on my air cleaner, I'm thanking God that I'm in a safe place, that I get to turn this thing on every night. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little thing, but it just means so much. I mean, it's having an impact on me, I think. And it just came to me when you're talking about that movie and the repetition of that kind of daily thing. So anyways, thank you very much for all of your presence and it's beyond words to express my gratitude. Thank you. Thank you.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Susan. So beautiful. Thank you. So I think I'm just going to unmute it because I know some of us here might want to join the thing that's going to start like in 2 minutes. So yeah, let's just unmute this and everyone can just wish each other well.
I wish you all well. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Beautiful, as always.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Appreciate you. Bye.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Bye. Yeah, Shirley, there's a, I will put a link for the, I'll try to see if I can find a link for the nurse. I'm not sure. But a question about what we talked about at the beginning. I'll see if I can find it. See if I can.
Great.
Find it.
Thank you. Okay. How do I do?
Papa?